be preaching there this morning. Don't have a special singer. Well, we didn't. The holidays, you know, with Christmas, and we were singing the special songs, and just the way the services went, we didn't have Sunday school in that last week. And so today we had to start out fresh. We hadn't practiced anything for the today and next week, and so we had to start getting that all lined back up. But that's okay. You know, God provided for us. And we think about the new year and every year, and I think about the resolutions sometimes, because it's a starting point. And I might have used, I've preached on this text before, I know I haven't, but it was good, and this is where God led me this morning. And I just had the one verse in verse 8. The Bible says there, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, where therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The key part is Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Just that thought right there. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And as we said already, thank you for this day. And Lord, each one that's here this morning, as we look to the new year, I pray you speak to our hearts today. And Lord, I pray that those of us that are saved, that we'll grow closer to you, Lord, and be full of more of you, Lord, this year than last. And Lord, that we progress in our walk and relationship with you. And it's my prayer for someone that may be here, maybe more than one, Lord, that's just not saved today. Lord, we pray for them. Lord, that this will be the year, maybe even this will be the day. What a way to start the year off on the first day being saved, Lord. So we put that into your hands this morning and ask it all in your name. Amen. The greatest resolution. I thought about this in the Bible, and I thought, well, what would be the greatest resolution? This is certainly one of them in the Bible. And I thought about this. How about this resolution this year when you're trying to think of things? We think a lot of superficial things. Oh, I'm going to lose the 5 pounds I gained over the holidays, or I'm going to, you know, quit watching Facebook, which that's probably not a bad deal, but something like that. But you know, think about what could we say. How about this year, my resolution is to be full of God, you know, every day. That would be a good one. And I think when we look at what Daniel said in this text right here, the Bible says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He said with the king's meat, but I want you to know, if you know the rest of the story of Daniel, and when he gets to the three Hebrew children and Nebuchadnezzar said, you got to bow down to this image, he said, I'm not doing that either. And I think we could be safe to say, knowing what Daniel's one of the few people in the Bible, that there's nothing negative said about him, or nothing in the negative. Even by God, we don't find a fault, or we don't see anything wrong with Daniel, his life. There's only a couple men in the Bible that said about or nothing said about, and Daniel's one of them. And I believe that we could say that he had purposed in his heart not to defile himself in any area of his life. This is where it starts, the issue of the heart. Been kind of on that subject, not on purpose, but I notice it's been popping up the last several times I've been preaching about that. And so, you know, they say about New Year's resolutions, this is one thing I read about. It said, New Year's resolutions, they come in one year and go out the next. You know, that's pretty much how they do. A lot of us have made resolutions over the years probably, and we didn't get very far with those things right there. But our text says Daniel purposed in his heart. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, if you ever get it in your heart, if you get it right in your heart, everything else in life will be exactly where it should be. It won't just be an empty promise or you know, and I believe sometimes we have a desire or we think we have a resolve. We have a direction we know we ought to go, and we really want to go that way, but we just don't get it done somehow, some way. I'm talking about in spiritual things particularly. And the reason is because it's not in our heart. That's the problem. Whatever's in your heart, you know, that's just what's going to come out in your life when you've got it in your heart. And so Daniel had purpose in his heart. I want you to say this. We got some young people over here. This is the young people section, it looks like, although, yeah, well, we got one over there. We got some more over there. Might have to pile y'all up. But you young people, listen to this. For us old people, it's a little bit too late for this point right here, but not too late for the solution. But Daniel was he was a teenager when he said that. Daniel was a young teenager. I mean, when he was taken away captive into Babylon, brought into another culture. And listen, this was ordained by God. that God wanted the very best of the Hebrews to be in Nebuchadnezzar's court to have an influence on another nation. Just a teenager. Don't forget that. That, you know, because sometimes, you know, see, kids, I know how you do. I know how you do. See, when there's something you don't want to do, you do. You say, well, I'm just a teenager. I'm not an adult. But then when there's something else that you want to do, well, I'm an adult. You know, if you want to do something along, you know how you play both sides of the deal right there. I know how it is. See, so never think that, hey, you know what? I'm just young and I can't do anything for God. I don't know enough yet. This and that. No, that's not true. Daniel was a teenager. He don't know what we know. He didn't have what we have. He didn't have the resources that we have in the same way. He didn't have the Word of God. He was just a teenager and he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Decisions that we make as teenagers can have a tremendous impact on the rest of our lives. I was thinking about that today. We were thinking about the year that it is. And, you know, I was 29 at a wedding anniversary. I was 29 when I got married. I was 32 when I got saved. Boy, I wish I'd have got saved. Just think if I'd have got saved when I was a teenager. How much better of a Christian, I mean, I would have an opportunity. I had an opportunity for more knowledge. It would be better for you if I had been, I guess. I'm just, you know, God works it out. But I'm just saying, boy, look at the years. If I'd have just got saved when I was young, man, and the things that, you know, I went through that I wouldn't have gone through or wouldn't have had been around. I don't believe that Daniel knew that God placed him there for a purpose, but God had a purpose for having him in that spot. And you know, God's always got his people. This came up here a few weeks ago, somewhere along the way on the preaching, that God had his remnant. Some of y'all remember that. It just sticks in my mind. I can't remember exactly everything I said about that. But God always has his remnant. Down through the ages, God had him with Israel. And I want to say something here, that God has him in this day and time. God has his remnant in every church. He's got that. The people that follow him and that trust him. And listen, that's who God uses. You can go to any church in America today. And I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter what the church goes through. It doesn't matter whether it's down, whether it's up. There's those people that are all, they're constant, they're steady. They're right there, the remnant people, the people that are serving God, the people that are faithful to God. Every church has that. Why is that? Because those people purposed in their heart somewhere along the way that they were going to be faithful to God. They were going to be faithful to his church. They were going to be just faithful no matter what. The circumstance didn't have anything to do with it, that they were going to be faithful to God. God always has those people, and those are the people that God used. Listen, God didn't work it out to where some of the sorriest Hebrews that there was in his people, that he was going to let those be the one that were going to wind up captive in Nebuchadnezzar's court, end up in his court. That isn't the way God wanted it to work out. He wanted the best that he had. He wanted his people, man. He wanted somebody that had already purposed in his heart. Why? Because he knew what a battle he was going to come up against. He knew what a battle they would, the temptation. He knew all about the fiery furnace. He knew all about the golden image. He knew all about what they were going to want him to do, those people to do. And so he put the very best worked it out where they would be in the king's court. I was talking in the Sunday school class about this verse in the Bible about the overcomers. It said, whosoever is born of God, or whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, when it's real, you know, we can get the victory over the world. And we're either going to be this, there's one of two things. Okay, let me tell you what, this year's coming up. Let me tell you what's going to happen to you. You're either going to be an overcomer or overcome. Those are the two things that's going to happen to you in this life. You're either going to be an overcomer of the things of the world, the wickedness in the world, the sin of the world, all the things of the world, or you're going to be overcome by that world. You either overcome it, or you're going to be overcome it, or be an overcomer. You're going to either be transformed this coming year, or you're going to be conformed. Those are the two things that happens to you in life. There's two things. This is what we get: conformed or transformed. And we know it all down through life, the styles that we wear, the way we talk, the way we act, everything. We get transformed by the world that's on around about us. And we see Daniel in a situation here, if you know this story, that he's in a situation to be transformed by his surroundings and the pressures from outside. But he purposed in his heart something else right there. Listen, what will you purpose in your heart for this year? What would you purpose in your heart for this year? Listen, this year, no doubt, is going to contain trials, tests, temptations, circumstances, failures, disappointments, discouragements, decisions. I don't want to sound all negative. Hopefully there'll be victories. There'll be some victories in there. Huh? What? This year's going to contain all the things that we look at. Well, you know, every year, I hope this year's better than next year. Well, no guarantee it's going to be. And well, you know, people that have a tragedy in their life, well, I hope this year, we're going to forget about that year. Hey, this year might have something worse. I'm not trying to be negative. It might be something better. Could be the same. I mean, you know, it's just the way life is. And what you purpose in your heart will have much to do with how this next year turns out. What you already purpose in your heart. So I want to look today a little bit at Daniel in this and look at the how and why Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed, number one, not to defile himself. I left off the king's meat with the king's meat because I know that he didn't defile himself in other areas, in worshiping false gods particularly. Comes to mind, but I believe that it wasn't just one thing that Daniel purposed in his heart. He wasn't going to defile himself no how with the world. He wasn't going to defile himself anyway with the ungodly things. If you study his life, you'll see it's true. And so here we go. We got Daniel. He's taken captive, and he's brought into this heathen environment. He's taken out away from the people of God. Like I said, he's just a teenager at this time, and it was a circumstance of which he had no control. Now listen, coming up on the new year, you could fall into a circumstance that you don't have any control about. It's a lot different. Now listen, we get ourselves in circumstances sometime that we had everything to do with. You know, the reason we got to this point is because of some dumb decision. How many of you ever made a dumb decision? How many of you made a dumb decision last year? Okay, try not to make them this coming year. We get ourselves in circumstances that we can help. We've got ourselves. Now, sometimes it'll spiral on down after that, but we get it. But I'm talking about in this case, in Daniel's case, it was a circumstance that he didn't have anything to do with. The Babylonians had come and taken the Jews captive. But, you know, and he was brought into another culture. Now, I'm going to tell you right here, if you're a child of God, if you're saved, you're already living in another culture. You know, we're living in the midst of another culture, right? I mean, this whole world, this world system, the world that we live in, it's another culture that we're not of that culture. We live in, so there's a great parallel between, this is why this is such a good text, it's a great parallel between what Daniel went through and what you as a Christian are going through, or if you become a Christian, what you will go through, which it's okay because God will give us the victory on that. But what I want you to see, the culture that we're in doesn't have to change the character that we should have as a child of God. It should not change. The culture that we're in should not change the character that we're supposed to have. I mean, if we're transformed on the inside, we can't help that either, right? And so we have a character that is counter to the culture. I didn't read all that text there, but you know, right off the bat now, they changed Daniel and his three friends. They changed their name. Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah. Those are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't it funny? We always called them by the worldly names that they was given. If you study those names out, it was, you know, had to do with their God, one of their gods that they had. We always call them by the worldly name that they had. Man, I always like to just go, you know, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are the three guys, the other guys that went into the fiery furnace. Daniel's name, he had Baal something. I forget what it was right off the bat, but it had to do with their god Baal. And we always called Daniel by his godly name, though. They changed his name, but Daniel knew that he could only be defiled. Now listen to me here. You can only be defiled by your conduct, your behavior, your own behavior. Daniel knew that. They could change his name. Nothing he could do about it. They'd call him whatever he wants. But you can only be defiled. That didn't defile him. You can only be defiled by your conduct, what you do. That's what's going to defile you, your behavior. Now listen, he had a million and one excuses. We always like to put blame, you know, we want to blame everybody for our conduct. We can blame everybody else. And, you know, he could have said, well, we could use that philosophy. Well, in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do. I can't help it. This is what's happened. I've got to survive no matter what. I've got to do what I've got to do to make it. I could do that. And he could have done that. You know, we think about the place he's in, the position he was in, the people that he was around, and the pressure that he was under. Now, listen, we all fit into that category. Think about this. There's the place that we're in. We're in the world, and then every other little subcategory down below that, where you work, whatever's going on in your life, the place that you're in, the position that you're in, whatever it is that you do, wherever you are, whatever position you may be in life, job, those type things, the people that you are around. The people that are around you, you know, they have an influence on you, or can have an influence on you. And then the pressure that you're under. We face all of those things in the world that we live in today, the exact same things that he was facing. But you know what? He decided that he was going to focus on God. The Bible tells us along in here somewhere that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. It might not be a bad idea. Now, I believe he probably prayed more than 3 times a day, but we know that he prayed morning, noon, and night. Right, we know he prayed 3 times a day. That'll have an impact on your life, by the way, if you really pray. And I'm talking about really praying. I'm not saying just going through the motions and having some repetitive thing that while you're thinking about something else while you're praying. I'm talking about when you're praying 3 times a day. And he purposed in his heart. We think about the place that he found himself in. We may find ourselves this coming year in a difficult place or a difficult circumstance. Well, number one, as I said, don't put yourself in a difficult place. Why put yourself in a place of temptation? Why put yourself in a place where it would be dangerous, in a dangerous situation where you're tempted, you may be tempted to sin or fall into sin or tempted to defile yourself? Why do that? Don't do that to start with. Now, Daniel couldn't help his. In Daniel's case, it was God's will. God wanted Daniel to be there. Now, he didn't know all that. Sometimes we end up in a place in life, guess what? God put you there for a purpose. God's got you there for a reason. And God's going to use you somehow. Now, I'm going to tell you, like I said, He ain't doing this with the nominal Christian. I'm going to tell you that right now. He's doing it with the remnant, the people that are faithful and trusting him. That's the ones that he gets to these places right there, because I'm going to tell you what, if you're not faithful to God, I'll get on this tonight. But God can put you on a shelf where God cannot use you, because you have been defiled. And so we think about the place and the position he was in. It would have been easy for Daniel to say, well, look, man, I'm in this position. I'm right next to the king, man. I don't want to tick him off. I've got to do things to please the king, and that way everything will be favorable for me. You know, he could have looked at that excuse right there for just doing everything that the king wanted him to do to gain his favor. But the Bible says he wouldn't defile himself. Daniel dealt with his own heart. He just kept dealing with his own heart. The people that was around him, I want to tell you something. Daniel was in the minority. Far as the only ones we know about was the other three Hebrews and Daniel, and everybody else was in a pagan land. He was in a pagan, they were false worshipers of a false god. You know, that he found himself in an idolatrous land. Think about the world that we live in today. I'm going to tell you what, if you're a Christian in this world, you're in a minority. If you got a job somewhere, you were probably in the minority at that job, unless you work for some ministry somewhere. But if you're just working out, you're in the minority. When you go out in public, most of the time, we are in the minority. And the Bible tells us this, so it says, come out from among them, this is in the spiritual way, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Man, I mean, there's some thing. We may be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. That don't mean we got to handle everything, touch everything, do everything that the world does. Man, I mean, back years ago, hey, when I was a lost man, buddy, I stayed up on Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, whatever Eve it is, stayed up on Christmas Eve too, stayed up on New Year's Eve, man, partying out there with the rest of the lost people, woo, man, you know, making a big old deal out of it, woke up the next day, man, couldn't get out of bed, wouldn't have gotten to church if I was going to church, because I was all hung over with my head split wide open, man. Now, you know what, listen, New Year's Day. Nothing wrong with celebrating it if you stayed up, great, knock yourself out. But it ain't no really Christian holiday. It's just a pagan thing, man. I'm telling you, Sherry and I were looking at each other the other day. I cracked up one eye, and she said, the night before that, I said, what time is it? She said, it's 9 o'clock. I said, we're barely making it. Hey, look, we made it to 9. Oh, man. I said, last night, boy, at 10 o'clock, I said, well, I could have stayed awake, but I said, man, I'm just going to go to bed. You know, I mean, I like my sleep a little better. I woke up at 12:15, said Happy New Year. Okay, I got it all in, man. But, I mean, there's things of the world. I don't have nothing to do with that. I don't want to be around a bunch of drunks. I ain't starting out the new year with a bunch of people talking stupid, looking stupid, and acting stupid, man. I mean, I didn't want to be around that. At all, I'm not comfortable around it. It's like a square peg in a round hole. Listen, I'm not comfortable around that. And I shouldn't be. And you shouldn't either if you got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in your heart. Man, I'm going to tell you what. God said, listen, man, come out. Don't touch the unclean. Come out from among them. I always think, when I think about that verse, I always think about old Lazarus. Man, when Jesus told Lazarus to come out of the grave, he said, come out, man. Old Lazarus come walking out. He said, come out. And he came out of there, and they said, take the grave clothes off of him. What an illustration, man. The things of the world, the dead things, the things that don't have nothing to do with you, because that's coming from the land of the dead. Listen, when I came out as a child of God, when I got saved, I came out from among them, the dead people, man. Let the dead bury the dead, the Bible said. I got away from that. I took off the grave clothes. It's not me. And think about the testimony that Lazarus would have had. I believe Lazarus from that point on was probably on the one of the separated people's side. I believe that he was one of the remnant there, that he had something to say because he'd been dead for 4 days. He knew something about that, and now he'd come out. And in the Bible, it's strange that the Bible doesn't have a lot to say about Lazarus' life after that, but I bet you that guy was a witness and fool. I'm just thinking that he was. He was going to be. I'd like to know what he had to say about that. He came out from the world right there. I bet that he was resolved. I bet he purposed in his heart that some things were going to be better down the road from that day forward right there, and not to be defiled. Purpose, purpose, purpose in your heart. Listen, if you don't get it in here, you'll never get it done. You'll never get it done. You've got the purpose in your heart. This is, you know, a lot of people think Christianity accidentally happens to them. You know, like, I'm just going to get saved, and then, boy, poof, everything. And I know that God gives us the Holy Spirit. He puts His Spirit in our heart, and I know that everything. But listen, man, there's a little resolve there. That word resolve, you could also use the word effort that goes into that. I mean, not doing this and not doing it and trying to be holy. I mean, it just doesn't automatically happen. Now, God empowers you, but there's a step to take, and there's another step to take along the way that God leads you, man. And I mean, so there's got to be a thing that we purpose in our mind. This is what we're going to do. And we pray about it, and we pray and we purpose in our heart that we're not going to be defiled by this world that we live in, the philosophy of this world. I'm going to tell you what, if this world's telling you to do it, you know it's not right. I don't care what it is. Huh? There ain't hardly nothing that's going to tell you right. We see the people around him, and then we see also the pressure that he was under. Listen, the pressure's all around us. Television. You know, the eye gate. It's amazing how, see, I can tell you something, you'll forget it, but if I can show it to you, you know, it just sticks in your mind. Our eye gate, it really sticks with us better. Something that you picture in your mind usually is better than what we just hear. And so, you know, we think about the advertising, the advertisers and agendas and things that we look at, the ungodliness that this world is jamming down our throat. And I could be specific, but I probably don't have to be, on a daily basis. The things on TV, you can't hardly watch the commercials. You can't watch an advertisement for AIDS medicine without puking. We're going to have a drag race going to be on TV here pretty soon. It ain't the kind of drag race I went to, man. When I went to it, buddy, it was nitromethane and, tires burning and high. The drag race now is a whole different day. And they just jam it constantly. We're under pressure. And there's also pressure for us to forget our principles. There was pressure on Daniel to do the same thing, to forget his purity. Look what's on TV. It ain't nothing but dope, sex, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, murder. Man, if they ain't shooting somebody dead, I mean, ain't nothing going on, right? All kind of lying. Even Andy Griffith, they lie on Andy Griffith, even way back in the 60s, man. Lied. It's the pressure on society. And then there's the name calling. You know, you're some kind of a phobic, or, you know, you're a, they want to attack you with names. Big deal. Big deal. I am a phobic, whatever it is. The modern philosophy, the world wants to, and it succeeds. The mind to push you into a mold and accept what society claims is right, which most of what society claims is right is wrong. And so all the ungodliness was all around Daniel, and all that ungodliness is all around us as well. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't have a purpose in your heart, if you don't purpose in your heart not to defile yourself, you're going to fall over into the flow. Huh? You know, it's like going downstream. You ever wade over a pretty good stream or even a river? You ever wade through and the water's coming a certain way? You know what? You got to lean into that deal. Huh? You can't lean back this way if it's coming this way. You got to lean into it as you're going on through that river right there. You're going to get swept downstream. You got the purpose in your heart, mentally and spiritually. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." That's effort. "For out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence. There's a purpose there that you have to do. Daniel purposed in his heart. The second thing, to be dedicated to his God. He purposed in his heart to be dedicated to his God. Listen, there's going to be, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen this year. And this is getting worse and worse, and we're seeing it in the world more and more. There's going to be challenges to our faith as we move farther in time. Challenges to our faith. And there's going to be decisions to be made as to whether we will take a stand. This may happen to you this year. Daniel's faith was challenged by a command from the king, a confrontation with the king, and a consequence from the king. It's particularly seen in the incident with that golden image where they said, "Listen, if you don't bow down when you hear the music, we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace, you and your buddies, three of them. We're going to throw you in that fiery furnace. I'm going to give you time to think about it." And they said, "We don't have to think about it. We're not bound down." Why? Because there's already purpose in their heart. See, circumstances didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't read that far along, but most of you know that text. I didn't read that far along. If you don't bow down and worship this image, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace, give you a little time to think. They spoke up, so we don't have to think about it. Why? It's already purpose in my heart. I already got it settled. It's already settled. See, you just settle things. You know what? I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, you got to settle in your heart all the things to be obedient to God. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to lie, steal, cheat, and steal, and do all those things. I've already got it purpose in my heart. I'm going to be faithful. I know I'm going to be here tonight. I got it purpose in my heart already. I'm not waiting for the circumstance to see if that's going to dictate whether I'll show up tonight. Aren't you glad of that? Because maybe you're not glad. If I'm not here, y'all can just go home. Huh? I've already got it purpose in my heart. Be here Wednesday. Be here next Sunday. Sunday, you know, if nothing happens, don't get sick. Not, you know, vacations and things aside, we got it purpose in our heart. I'm not waiting for a circumstance to determine if I'm going to serve God or not. See, the conflict in our mind, or conflicts in our mind, rises with the consequences we face sometimes. And Satan knows this. We get it's in here. You see what's in here, and this is all connected. It's the conflicts in our mind. What are we going to do with this when we look at the circumstances? There's three things that Daniel and his friends, they had to face every day. There was three things. Two of them they couldn't really do a lot about it, but one place they took a stand. One of them was it was a heathen education. The second thing was bearing heathen names. And the third thing was eating heathen food. This is where they could do something right here. Now, the first two, like I say, it wasn't an issue with their character or morals, heathen education or bearing the names that people gonna call you, whatever they want to call you. I'll talk about the education part here in just a second. But eating the heathen food. And this is where they decided to take a stand. Now, you know, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said, listen, I don't have a problem eating meat that's offered to idols because I don't believe in idols. But he did say this. He said, if it's going to be a stumbling block to somebody else that doesn't have the same resolve as I do, I won't do it because I don't want that to be a stumbling block to them. He said that. But these guys said, listen, we're not going to do it. The food that the kings would have fed them, the meat would have been dedicated to a heathen god in sacrifice. And even though they knew the gods of the Babylonians was the false gods, they would have been perceived as honoring that god, and they knew it because they were in a position of authority. They were in the king's court. He was using them to, like a sounding board, brain trust. And that would have been perceived by everybody else, and they didn't want to do it. Good move. And, you know, our presence sometimes at events and particular events or places can be taken as approval of that, you know, doing certain things. We have to, you know, the Bible says abstain from the all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Not even look evil. Not even if it's what you're doing is evil, you know, but just abstain from the appearance of evil so nobody has a doubt. Don't cause anybody. That's what the Bible tells us that, right? Don Jones, he used to want me to go down. We went and saw Don Jones, Harold Vaughn and I a week ago. When they had a liquor store down here in Buchanan, he wanted me to go in there and witness to the lady at the liquor store. I said, man, I can't go in there and witness to her. I said, I have to talk to her somewhere else. He said, why? I said, because somebody will see me coming out of there. And we had a hardware store then. I said, just suppose I went in a hardware store and I had a brown bag full of nuts and bolts and I went in there to talk to her and I come out with that brown bag. And you know how many people would have seen me? There'd been somebody from the church and all the other days. They said, man, we seen Pastor Boone coming out of the liquor store with a bag in his hand, huh? How would that have looked? Wouldn't have been. I wouldn't be tempted by it. I could go in there and not be tempted at all. Wouldn't even have thought about it. But what would others have thought? It could have been a stumbling block, see? So not to abstain from appearance of evil. That's what we're to do. Daniel's decision was a moral and spiritual decision not to partake of eating that meat. Was he tempted? Probably. He wasn't above temptation. Possibly. But he had to decide between God's word and the king's food. This is what we have to, this is what we're going to have to listen. This year coming up, every day and more than once a day, you're probably going to have to decide between God's word and the king's food represented by, I mean, the world's philosophy, desire to put you in a mold. You're going to have to make a decision probably every day in that you have to make that decision. You have to purpose in your heart. I'm going to tell you this. You have to purpose in your heart ahead of time. You can't wait for the circumstance to arise. If you do, you're going to fail more times than not. Daniel already had purposes in his heart before this event took place. He already knew that he wasn't going to defile himself. He was a godly man, young man. So you already have to have this settled in your mind that this is what I'm not going to do, and this is what I will do, depending on what the situation is. You already have to have that settled. That way there's no circumstantial influence on what you're going to do. It's purposed in your, where? In your heart. It's not purposed according to, depending upon what's going on around me. And he purposed in his heart that he was just going to trust God and because of the word. And you're going to have to make a choice. There'll be times you're going to have to make a choice, and it may be every day in the year that comes ahead. And the third thing, he purposed to display God's power. What was the guide in Daniel's life at this time? You know, how and why of the decisions that he made to purpose in his heart not to defile himself. The New Testament states this for us along this same line. It says to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. This is one of our purposes. We know our purpose is to glorify God, right? Wednesday night crowd, y'all know that. Our sole purpose in life, you were created for this one purpose. If you don't know what your purpose in life is, you were created to glorify God. But I'm going to tell you what, you can't glorify God if you've been defiled by the world, unspotted. So another purpose, a thing that we have to purpose in our heart is that our quest is to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, because if we are spotted from the world, we can't glorify God. Put it that way. And I mentioned that Daniel and his friends were educated at the schools of the Babylonians. Well, how come they didn't take a stand there? Listen, it wasn't a big deal, because, you know, you could be educated at the school of the Babylonians, but it doesn't have to mean that you have to believe everything they teach as truth. Huh? You can learn, you know, you can learn, hey, I can take you in the Bible. I can show you in the Bible things that are stated that are not true. All you got to do is go in Ecclesiastes. It tells you that when animals die and people die, they go to the same place, but it's not a true statement. It was the view of God apart, or view of the world apart from God. All Ecclesiastes, that's what it is. It's viewing the world as if there was no God. So there's statements in it basically are not true. They're true in the fact that that's how you would have to take it if you viewed God or viewed the world apart from God. That's what it is. When I was in school in the seventh grade, I had a teacher, a Jewish lady. If there's ever a teacher I needed to apologize to, she's probably dead now. This would be her. This would be the one. I gave her a hard time, and me and a lot of the other guys. But she was a Jewish lady, not about her being Jewish, just being a teacher. You know. But she had to teach evolution. You figure the time I was in the seventh grade, that time evolution was. And she told us at the beginning of class, she probably could have gotten in trouble for this in this day and age. She said, I've got to teach this to you, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe it. But the government says I've got to teach evolution. So she taught it, had a little video and stuff we watched about evolution, but she didn't believe it, see? So, hey, your kids go to public school? Okay, they're going to teach them that. They don't have to believe it. Just pass the test. If that's what it said, if this is what they say, evolution, just pass the test. That's all you got to do. Get an A and go on down the road and say it's a bunch of hogwash. We can pass the test in hogwash, right? What'd you learn today? Hogwash. That's what pretty much what I asked my kids. I asked my grandkids, what'd you learn? Nothing. Damien is going to major in nothing. Now, you've been telling me that his whole life. He gets A's in it, too. He's a straight A student in nothing. I always kid him. I told him, I said, what are you going to do? Go to college? You going to major in nothing? He said, yep. He's the man. He's the man. So, they went and they decide to take a stand. And I don't know that they knew that this is what God was doing, but this is what God was doing. That he purposed in his heart, and in purposing in his heart, he was going to display God's power. I don't know that I put down purpose to display God's power. I don't know that he really knew that, but this is the way it turned out, is what happened. Daniel had knowledge of scriptures, not the same way we do, not the canonized word of God, but he had knowledge of scriptures. They were inspired writings of Moses, David, and the prophets. He had those. He knew something about God. And here's what's going to happen. We're either going to be conformers or transformers. That's it. That's what's going to happen to you this year. You're going to be either conformed or transformed. Be a transformer, a conformer, or be a transformer. Those are the things. Most people are conformers. You know, most people are followers. Most people in life are followers. They're not leaders. It's just easy to follow, no responsibility. You just get along. You know, a dead fish can swim downstream, right? It's just easier to do that. A conformer is a person whose life is controlled by pressure from without. That's a conformer. And a transformer is a person whose life is controlled by a power within. Those are the two things that'll happen. This year's coming up for you. But instead of being conformed, Daniel and his friends, they were transformers. God used them to change the mind of the king. When old Nebuchadnezzar threw them in there, didn't read, he said, hey, he looked in there, they had heated up the oven seven times more hotter than it usually is. It's so hot it slew the people that carried him down there. They threw him in the fiery furnace, and then old Nebuchadnezzar looked in there. He said, didn't we put three in there? And he said, well, there's a fourth one walking around. Daniel wasn't in there, but it was the other three guys. They said, the fourth one walking around, he said, looks like the Son of God, Nebuchadnezzar. Boy, it changed the writing. Why? Because they transformed the king's mind about God. Now think about that. Boy, there'd be a resolution for you, right? Well, if you purpose in your heart not to defile yourself, then you'll have the power of God on your life to change the mind of those around you, maybe kings, but maybe not. Listen. The first step to purpose your heart to not be defiled is to give yourself wholly to the Lord. Surrender, man, this is it. I'm going to surrender myself to God. This is the first step. The heart that loves the Lord, trusts the Lord, and therefore obeys the Lord has no difficulty in making the right choices and trusting God to take care of the consequences. You got that? Let me say that again. The heart that loves the Lord, trusts the Lord, and therefore obeys the Lord, that's the evidence of love, has no difficulty making the right choices and trusting God to take care of the consequences. That's why Daniel and his friend said, King, it don't matter how many chances you give us, we've done made our mind up, we're not bowing down and worship that golden image. They had purposes in their heart. So you're going to make a resolution, or maybe you did make a resolution. Maybe it wasn't a good one. Listen, this is the first day of the new year. Huh? Why not purpose in your heart not to defile yourself with this world that we live in? Be a transformer and not a conformer. It's not going to happen accidentally. It won't. You'll never be a transformer. You'll be a conformer. If you don't purpose in your heart, this is what you're going to do. Huh? Listen, we talked about this morning. Read this word of God right here. What's it say? I saw a Facebook. I couldn't find the post. I tried to find it in Brian's class. I think it was Harold that posted a thing about Satan. Some of y'all might have seen it. Said Satan was a great theologian. He knew God's word. He had communication with God. Huh? He knew all those things, but he only knew it in his mind, but he didn't love God. That's the difference. He didn't love him and he didn't obey him. That's the difference. How's this year going to be any different? If something doesn't change in your heart, if you don't purpose something in your heart, this year won't be different than last year, spiritually speaking. Amen? Let's all stand.